Namaste. So we can speak very briefly about fate because man is constantly harassed by the sense of uncertainty and he fills this uncertainty with fear and anxiety. It is really not needed, but still that's how our nature is. The problem is, as we have seen, fear, anxiety, agitation, restlessness, even excitement, all these things, even physically, they harm us. They put our immune system, our bodily defenses, all on a hyperdrive. And when the actual time comes, we may really get exhausted. And sometimes if we respond, the response is very chaotic and it can create problems. It can create other issues, other kinds of inflammation. So, how do we get some kind of certitude? Now, what really is fate? Fate is not something which somebody has written arbitrarily and something is going to happen based on our past, papa and punya, etc., etc. We have a role to play in fate. And that's why in all books of fate, description of fate, at least in Indian scriptures, it is said that there is an element of fate which comes from the past. The energies we have set into motion, they have led us where we are. But there is also an element of purushartha. So we, by our own effort, can change the fate. Mother gives this example very beautifully in the context of an illness. That supposing we are going through a place and or let's take for instance, we are traveling in a bus. Now, you know that bus is fated to meet with an accident and people are meant to die. But suddenly, I mean the force that is going to hit, not that people are meant to die like decided beforehand, but there will be an accident because of a certain kind of trajectory. Maybe the driver's state, maybe the way the bus is, so many incalculable forces. But if one person is in a good state of consciousness, surrendered, full of faith, then she says that not only he, maybe the entire bus may be saved. So fate can be changed just by our attitude. She at one place says that if human beings could be in the right attitude, then even if there is the arm of the assassin, there is a person who has come to assassinate us with a rifle in hand, with a sword in hand, he will not be able to, it will drop. He will not be able to hit because the state of consciousness will be such. And there are countless stories we see in our scriptures and we unfortunately rubbish them as just stories. But these stories are indicative stories. They suggest to us that, for example, if there is a so-called enemy and if we can see in the so-called enemy the friend, the face of our lover and beloved, the divine within, then the change, the enemy himself begins to undergo a change. And even if he meant to do us harm, either he will not be able to harm us, or if the harm comes, it will be much smaller than what would have happened. So she explains this in the context of an illness, that if one is in a beautiful state, in a state of faith, in a state of trust in the divine, in a state of confidence in the grace, then even if the forces of illness come, they will not be able to do any harm. They will not be able to enter. But even if they enter, there are moments of unconsciousness and we cannot always be in that state. So if in a moment of unconsciousness, when there are holes in our subtle protective envelope which guards us, and they enter, she says, if even then there is a moment of choice. Now, the moment of choice is we can suddenly react with fear. Oh, I got it. And I'm going to succumb. Or in that moment, we entrust ourselves into the hands of the divine, into the hands of grace. She says, then what will happen? Even if the illness were to go through the course, either it will be very swiftly and the whole thing will be mitigated. There will be practically no complications. Maybe those who will come around us to the doctors, the sisters, everything will be used by the divine to help us recover. But if we put ourselves onto the side of fear, then another set of mechanisms will begin to unfold both within the body and the mind and the forces that we overfed. And even when the illness was supposed to be very small, we will probably, succumb to it. You see, it's very interesting that nowadays one of the observations people have made is that children are least affected, especially, up to 9 years of age by this recent pandemic. Now, it's very interesting, not only this pandemic, in many pandemics, why does this happen? Because children don't use this mental element of fear. Unless we put it into them, when children go to a doctor, they have got a injury, they don't think in terms of tetanus and all these big things. But parents put fear into their head, and once that fear is contaminated, well, then it's a different thing. It's like a contagion. So the important thing is that we have a moment of choice always. Fate is not built by, as Shurvin says, a blind god is not destiny's architect. So it is not some blind god, something mechanical, and we have to suffer. Well, the moment we have something, well, what shall we do? It is our past karma. No, one of the beautiful things about Mother and Shurubindo is that they tell us that everything can change. Each moment it can change. Even from the jaws of death we can come back, provided we keep this faith intact. Mother gives some very interesting examples, and one of them is, of course, about, I think many of us know in Shurubindo circles about whom she is speaking. I won't take the name, a very loved and very respected person. He's now no more. Left his body at the age of 106 or 100. Yeah, 106. So there was a time when he, by mistake, he took 3 times the dose of a drug which can be so poisonous. I mean, even the normal dose which one would take, let's say X, can finish the heart, because the heart would die and fail. But he took 3 times the dose. I mean, nobody can survive. But just as he was sinking and he thought, this is my last moment, he just remembered the mother and placed himself in mother's hands, and he survived. Now, this is something not only, I mean, I have myself known instances. I mean, this famous cinema hall tragedy, Upahar fire tragedy, which I wrote about it at some point of time, where some of my cousins were unfortunately, or they were involved in that. Now, one of them died, but all others survived. So then I asked them, the survivors, they were in hospital ICU, then they came out. So I asked them, what happened? You know, it's carbon monoxide poisoning, it can kill us in minutes. So they belong to a family of Krishna Bhaktas. So they said, we thought that now death is going to come, and they started, they thought of Krishna. Now they came out. What about the lady who died? Cousin sister. She says, not sister, my niece. She says, she was worried about the child, and she kept shouting for the child, and she's the one who died, and everybody else survived. All others were basically children. Now, it is very strange that by this simple act of faith in the divine presence, by simple act of surrendering, and there's no such moment when we cannot surrender. Even if, supposing, let us say, as the mother puts it, that for various reasons, now it's time to leave the body, you know, then why not leave the body in the state of surrender and faith? She says, if you put yourself in the state of surrender and faith, then either which way, if you have to recover, it creates the best possible conditions for us to recover. And if we have to pass away for whatever reason into the beyond, then we are in the best possible condition to pass away into the beyond. So either which way, it's a wonderful thing. And this is the message that we should stop being hypnotized by this ineluctable idea of fate. Strangely, scientists who don't believe in fate, material scientists, they also, by the fact of statistics and numbers, start impressing upon us indirectly about the fatality of things. But there is nothing like an ineluctable fate. There is something in us which is always greater. As Shubhendu puts it, the soul in man is greater than his fate. So it is a choice. We can choose to be afraid. In the moment of crisis, suddenly when there is something happening, some accident or something else around us, and hence succumb to it, one set of forces, or we can come out of this net of forces, lower net of forces, and instead put ourselves on the side of the divine help, the divine grace, the divine protection, the divine love, and after that, just dive deep and nestle into his arms. And whatever may happen to us will be wonderful, will be good, and will help us take leaps and bounds in our progress. Thank you.